For those of you who are hearing this recording, I made a mistake when I recorded the second lesson in the Isaiah series here in Merced. I only missed the first 10 or 15 minutes, which was primarily the introduction, so I'm just re-recording. It's going to be only about 10, 15 minutes of primarily review and introduction to the second lesson, in which we'll be covering kingdom prophecies. So, the book of Isaiah, covering a period from about 739 BC to close to 680 BC, from the time of Uzziah and Ahaz and other kings down to the time of Hezekiah. It's a time when during which the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians. There's the Syro-Ephraimic War in 732 BC and 722 BC, during which the Assyrians completely destroyed the northern kingdom under Shalmaneser. This is the historical background to Isaiah. Also, during Isaiah's time as a prophet, Sennacherib, the Assyrian emperor, came and nearly completely destroyed the southern kingdom, took almost all the cities of Judah and surrounded Jerusalem, upon which faithful Hezekiah called on Isaiah, and Jerusalem was saved. So that's kind of the background. We're going to be learning about unfaithful Ahaz in Isaiah 7, and faithful Hezekiah in Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 37-38. That's kind of the background here. Now, Isaiah is a prophet to the southern kingdom. He was from the sort of inner workings of the southern kingdom. He was an aristocrat, a priest with close connection to the palace. Unlike his contemporary Micah, who was a farmer and kind of representing the common people and the things he was prophesying about. Okay. So the outline of Isaiah, as we saw, chapters 1 through 39 primarily focuses in on events related to Assyria. And in Isaiah chapter 1 through 39, these are current events that Isaiah is talking about. There are a number of prophecies about the Messiah and about the kingdom, but it's largely about what's going on. And basically, the southern kingdom is being called to repent of the paganism and the lack of social justice. Anyway, Isaiah 1 through 39 in our outline is about Messiah the King. And it focuses in on Assyria. And then Isaiah 40 through 55, the beginning of what many people call Deutero-Isaiah and propose possibly a second author. I don't know about that. But anyway, here it focuses on the future. It focuses on what's happening under Babylon, and there are a lot of prophecies about Babylon. Isaiah 39 includes a specific prophecy that the king of Babylon would conquer the southern kingdom later on. So Isaiah 40 through 55 is about Messiah the servant, so Messiah the king, Messiah the servant, and then Isaiah 56 through 66, the last 11 chapters, Messiah the conqueror. Here, the vision goes from Assyria, and then to Babylon and Persia, and then to the world. And a lot of kingdom prophecies there, a lot of messianic prophecies in Isaiah 40 through 55, and a lot of kingdom prophecies in Isaiah 56 through 66. All right. Now, the main themes in Isaiah are this. Number one, the utter sinfulness of Judah and Jerusalem. If you want a fun, happy book in the Bible, Isaiah is probably not your book, because there's some rather gross descriptions of the sinfulness of Judah and Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. Another theme of Isaiah is the appeal of the prophet to God's people to repent. Many, many calls throughout the book of Isaiah for the people to repent of their idolatry, of their lack of social justice and other sins. The third theme is judgment, the day of the Lord, that God is going to come to judge his people if they will not repent. And then the fourth theme, which is emphasized a bit more later in the book, but also early in the book, as we'll see, especially we'll see that tonight actually, is that the Messiah, the suffering servant, is coming to save. And so we'll see this hopeful message of the future salvation through the Son of God, through the Messiah. Famously, of course, Isaiah 53, but there's many, many places in the book of Isaiah that you'll see looking forward to the new kingdom, the restoration under Messiah. And then the fifth major theme is the restoration of a remnant. So we're going to see today, twice in Isaiah 1 and later on in Isaiah 4, we're going to see emphasis on this idea of a people after God comes in the day of the Lord and destroys his enemies and takes vengeance on those who are idolaters, then God is going to leave a remnant. The faithful few will be saved, and that will apply both to the restoration of Judah, also to the church. There are some sub-themes, God rules the nations, the glory of the Lord, and social justice, a lot of emphasis there. Now we're going to talk about Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to review Isaiah chapter 1. The themes in Isaiah 1 basically are the themes of Isaiah. The utter sinfulness of Jerusalem, the appeal to repent, the inevitability of judgment, the possibility of salvation, and then the holding forth of a remnant. The basic themes of Isaiah are found in Isaiah chapter 1. Now remember, Isaiah 1 through 5 is sort of a prologue. The beginning of Isaiah really, in a sense, starts in chapter 6. This is where Isaiah is commissioned. And many people start the study of Isaiah actually in chapter 6 rather than chapter 1. And they consider chapter 1 through 5 sort of a prologue. We're not going to get to chapter 6 until week 4 in this class. Probably we may hit it a little bit earlier, but that's where we're headed. So let's do a little bit of reading, just some brief readings from Isaiah chapter 1 to get a feeling for the different themes. Isaiah 1 verse 3, the ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers. And God is angry at his people. He said, even a donkey is smart enough to figure out how to find his manger, and yet my people have left me. Then in verse 5, why should you be beaten anymore? Why would you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your feet to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores. God is pleading with his people. Please repent so I don't have to bring this calamity on you. Skipping down, we see another important emphasis here in Isaiah. It's not just in Isaiah 1, it's in other places as well as in Jeremiah. It says, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? And we asked last week, is it possible that our worship to God can become detestable to him? The answer is yes. How might that happen? Because we give room for idolatry and we refuse to show social justice, to take care of the poor and the needy. Skipping down, verse 16, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. Here God is calling them to repent specifically of lack of social justice. And indeed, the two greatest sins that are called out in the book of Isaiah is idolatry and lack of taking care of the poor, the fatherless, the widow, the foreigner, the people that are in need. And then most people's favorite verse, I would say in Isaiah 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And here God's saying, yes, holding out the possibility of forgiveness. Oh, by the way, there's also a reference to the idea of the remnant, and that's verse 9. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become like Gomorrah. So although there's going to be judgment on God's people, God will save a remnant. And I don't know about you, but personally, I'd like to be in that remnant. Now let's very, very quickly finish out Isaiah chapter 1. Alright, let me see here. Themes of Isaiah, intro to Isaiah 1, good. So I'm going to read Isaiah 21 through 27. All right, where he finishes out the chapter. Remember, all five themes of Isaiah generally, of the first five chapters generally, are found in Isaiah chapter 1, and we're seeing all those. Starting in verse 21. See how the faithful city has become a prostitute. Who is this faithful city? This faithful city is Jerusalem. Now remember, Isaiah is giving this prophecy about the time that Sennacherib came and nearly completely destroyed the southern kingdom as a judgment on the sins and the idolatry of Judah. See how the faithful city has become a prostitute. She once was full of justice. Righteousness used to dwell in her. But now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, partners with thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. Therefore the Lord Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel declares, aha! I will vent my wrath on my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross. Remove all your iniquities. Again, this is the inevitability of judgment, yes? I will restore your leaders as in days of old. There's the remnant. Your rulers as at the beginning. Afterward, you will be called a city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion will be delivered with justice, her penitent ones with righteousness. But rebels and sinners will both be broken, and those who forsake the Lord will perish. So again, we see so many of the important themes that are throughout the book of Isaiah are right here in the last few verses of Isaiah chapter 1. Let me get to my notes here for this section, see if I'm missing anything important. Right, no more justice in the land. The rulers are taking bribes. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Sounds familiar. Sounds like America today. God does not appreciate it when the poor are taken advantage of. When the rich take advantage of the poor to steal their land, to take their possessions so that they can enrich themselves. God is very angry at that. It's a constant theme. Amos, Micah, etc. But here in Isaiah as well. God expects his people to show justice to the widow, to the orphan, to the disabled, to the foreigner, whatever the equivalent, maybe to the single moms, whatever be the equivalent in our society, God expects us to exercise social justice. And one of the questions at the end of this class, questions for discussion, is going to be, what do you personally have on your heart that you want to do to create social justice in your society? All right, and again, the most common sins mentioned in Isaiah are idolatry and failure to treat the people with justice. Justice is a condition where things are right, where as God intended to be. The result, verse 24, is I will vent my wrath on you, and I will remove the impurities. If you won't take them out, I will. But then, of course, he ends this section on a note of hope. Isaiah almost always ends all the major sections with a note of hope. Those last 2 points of point number 4, the coming Messiah, the coming age, the coming kingdom, and the restoration of a remnant. Zion will be delivered from my wrath. All right, so that finishes that section. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at a number of kingdom prophecies. In Isaiah, you could divide prophecies, I suppose, into three kinds. Because some of the prophecies and concern events that will happen in the fairly near future, which confirmed Isaiah as a prophet, those are not as interesting to us. More interesting to us are the messianic prophecies and the kingdom prophecies. Isaiah is really famous for its messianic prophecies. Behold, the virgin will be with child and give forth, you know, and They will call him Mighty Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53, and so many other messianic prophecies. But there are many kingdom prophecies. And these kingdom prophecies tend to have the property of being applicable to Israel, to the restoration of the southern kingdom after the time of Babylon, to the church into heaven. These kingdom prophecies, well, I'm going to ask fairly often, is it about this or is it about that? And your response is supposed to be yes, both. We're going to look at kingdom prophecies in Isaiah 2. The future temple will attract Gentiles. We'll see that. Isaiah 4, about the glorious branch. Isaiah 7, the virgin birth will be with child, which is both messianic and kingdom, as we'll see. The dawning of a new day and the birth of a child, Isaiah 9. The shoot of the stem of Jesse, Isaiah 11. The three we're going to cover tonight are Isaiah 4 and Isaiah 11. The mass conversion of the Gentiles in Isaiah 19. The New Jerusalem, Isaiah 54. And really, Isaiah 56 through 66 is a whole series of kingdom prophecies. So these things are about God's reigning on the earth, God coming to reign in the different ways that this happens. All right? And so what we're going to do is, I'm going to end the tape now because you can go to Isaiah, I don't know, part 2b, and I'll start in with Isaiah chapter 2, which is the great kingdom prophecy about the mountain of the Lord. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. All right.